for the good of those who love him. I want you to see that again. It's so important if you have a Bible or some way that you can underline, or in my notes, I make the words really big. And we know, everybody say we know, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called, I'm reading this out of the New International Version, those who have been called according to his purpose. Can I tell you tonight, you can live your life on that verse. That if you know Christ as your Savior, you can live on that. You can live on the words, we know. It could be difficult, it could be challenging, but I want you to know that when we know, when you know, that even if you're in trouble, that God is there with you, helping you. To those who have been called, it's like he puts a stamp on your life. He sets you aside, you and I, for something great. Carol, I remember when you came into the church. To think that you'd have gone to Ireland, Mexico, France. Where else have you gone? Where? Oh, yeah, that's right. To think that God would use her in that, and many others that are here. When he puts his hand on your life, he transforms you and he moves you out of the box that you think you're going to live in, and he transforms you and continually takes you to these new levels. And who can say these things, that all things, that God, when you love him and serve him, he's in the middle of it. Even the tough times, even the difficult times. Because in Paul, who was beaten, the Bible says forsaken, shipwrecked, he's telling us maybe how things look right now. They don't look that well. But he is telling us that when we are committed to God, he is working something good in our lives. Come on, can I hear amen on that? Because anything he is in control of. If he is in your life, he's going to work good in your life. Now listen to me. If he is in your family, if you make room for him, he will work something good out of even if you're in trouble. That's the truth. Sometimes people find themselves living in chaos, living in the land of crazy and can't figure out and just cannot connect with the purpose and the plan of God for their lives. And can I tell you today that I've been in the middle of crazy, in the middle of pain and discomfort, but I have come to know that the goodness and the kindness of God was working something out beyond what I could see at that very moment. And he was always in the midst of it. He didn't create it, but he never leaves you alone. This is so important. And he's working to bring something great out of it. Last night, Ryan spoke of the men's meeting. One of the phrases that was used, that God is always in your life cleaning out a room in your life, in your brain, in your head. He's cleaning out. And you go through life and you think, okay, I got that cleaned out. But then you live a little longer and you find out he swings around because the room gets dirty and he starts cleaning it again. He's working things out because things are going to happen in our lives. I wish I could say everything was just going to be awesome and fun all the time, but that's not life. Pain, sometimes negative choices, unforeseen, catastrophic events like COVID, that in many cases, God has nothing to do with it. And I'm here to refute tonight that some people saying God brought COVID on the earth to clean it up. God is not the author of things that kill the people that he loves. Come on, did you hear me? Adjust that in your life if that's what you're thinking. He is not the author of that. The Bible never says that he takes those things and uses it against us. He does not. And there is a devil that wants to come, kill, steal, and destroy. And you may be here today, and you may be feeling some of that. Listen to this. The devil does not have dominion over your life, but he does have an assignment against every one of you. Did you hear that? I think, yeah. Look at that up on that screen. Take that in. He doesn't have dominion over you. Sometimes, instead of just letting him have that assignment fulfilled, you got to rise up. Got to get the word of God in you. You've got to pray and ask God to help you to stand. And in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the hurt, sometimes you got to get up and say, devil, you're done. Get out of here. Back to hell where you belong. He's got an assignment. And I can stand here and tell you today that in the middle of your pain, maybe he didn't create it, but he can work something great out in the middle of it. Who's listening to what I'm telling you tonight? And that verse never says that he did all things, but it says he can work something out in all things. He's the God of the hills and the valley. And listen, Paul finds himself in jail in Rome, and he could have looked at being in prison and said, how terrible this was, woe is me. He could have said all kinds of these things. But I want to read this, and I had one verse, and I thought, I can't read one verse. This is a Bible study tonight. We're going to read the Bible, amen? So Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's in prison. He's in jail. He's not sitting on the side of a swimming pool with a cold club soda next to him with a nice fresh lime cut in it. He is in jail. And he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these. This chapter has golden nuggets in this. Because when I'm reading it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's one of my favorite verses. Oh yeah, that's another one. Here's one. Verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. I love it when I get a card and somebody puts that scripture in there. I thank my God every time I remember you, Paul says. In all my prayers for all of you, I'm always praying with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that here it is again, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Man, I like that. That is so good. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you. He's in jail. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Man. Verse 9, and this is my prayer. Look at his prayer. Not to get me out of this. Not, God, why is this happening to me? Can't you rescue me? Look at his prayer. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He's in jail. And then we'll look what he says in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. I don't want God to use me like that. I mean, he's in jail. He says, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and the sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What's he saying? He's saying while he's in jail, he's in love with Jesus. He's preaching the love of Jesus to everyone who's in jail. The guards, the other inmates, everyone is being transformed by the love and the grace that he is sharing at that moment. He says, as a result, verse 14, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Verse 15, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Listen to this. He's in jail, but others out of goodwill. He said, the latter do so out of love, knowing that I am here for the defense of the gospel. The former, the ones that preach it out of envy and rivalry, just want to stir up trouble. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Then look what he says. He's in jail still in verse 18. He says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Come on. And yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. My father-in-law used to tell me, don't get so connected to the world that you forget where your eternity lies. Paul said, for me, to live is to live for Christ, and to die is gain. Then he goes on, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? This is very important. I want you to hear this. What shall I choose? I do not know. Verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. And I know there's some people, Pauly, that tell me, oh, I just want to be to heaven. But look what he says. Sure, it's great. But look what he says, verse 24. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Why? Just preach the gospel. To go on a missions trip to Mexico. That is a little strange in the middle of COVID. But God, when he is with you and for you, and his hand is upon you, he has a hedge of protection around you that no evil shall come nigh your dwelling. And every evil that rises up against you, you can push it off and walk and be fulfilled in the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. He said, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for the progress and joy and faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. I want to stop there. I just want to go on from there because my time is coming to an end. I just got a couple of thoughts here. What can I learn from this? First, he works good for everyone that loves him. Listen to me now. There is a condition. If Jesus is not at the center of our lives, things will not make sense and work. When we know that Jesus is Lord of all and he is sitting on the throne of my life, I know that he will help me through whatever I am facing. But the promise is not for everyone. The guarantee is limited. If you buy a product, I have to retire my clock radio next to my bed. How many of you know what a clock radio is? This one I've had. I'm not kidding you. I'll bet you I've had it for 30 years. It just quit. And so I bought a new little digital thing. But you don't know, if I went out and I got on a boat and I hooked that clock up and I used it as an anchor and I said, this doesn't work, and I took it back to the person, I want my money back, it's not work. I didn't use it for what it was created for. And you and I, when we are not used for what God creates us for, the Bible says there's two. The promise is limited in this. He says, to those who love him, one, and the second part, and those who are called according to his purpose. And when you're outside of that, those brackets, anything outside of that, you can't claim that promise. For instance, listen to this. Now, I know that maybe somebody, maybe watching at home, you're getting a little uptight over this, but just hear me out. A man who never gives any attention to God. He never prays. He never worships. He steals a car. He robs a bank. Listen, I've had those people in my life for years. Rob a bank. And somebody say, well, I know God just, he's just using this to get my attention. God did not cause you to rob that stinking bank so he could get attention. The devil had an assignment on your life. And because you didn't love God and you didn't fulfill the purposes and the plans of God, you went out crazy one night, got in that car, robbed that bank, and now you're in jail and the enemy is sitting back with a big fat smile on his face. Amen. I knew this would be a little challenging. But I want you to know that if that is you, that in the middle of that, you can ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from all sin. You say, well, I just don't know if I go that far if God will do that. Oh, yes, he will. We just went through Easter. Remember the one thief that was hanging on the cross next to Jesus, where the one said, if you were who you say you were, you'd get me out of this. But the other one said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, at that moment, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus is here to help you and I when we go through the trouble. But he wants you and I to live for him and to love him and to fulfill the purpose in our lives. Because God's purpose will prevail. Listen to this. Joseph, sold into slavery, 17 years later, his brothers come to him who sold him and now bow down before him and ask him for help. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but when he meets Jesus a few days later, Jesus, he said, you love me, feed my sheep. David said after many successes and failures in his older age in Psalm 119:71, he said, it was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. Job says this in Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. It can't be stopped. God, you saved my life. You rescued me for a purpose. You're not just here for a short season of my life and gone. He is with you when you love him and serve him for the long haul. You've been stamped for a greater purpose. And the only way to discover the length and the breadth and the depth of that purpose is to yield your life over to him and say, God, here I am. Use me. And realize this, how you live your life matters. Your walk is your witness. How you handle tests and trials, how you handle your life will serve God's eternal purposes in others. Listen, you can take all the selfies that you want when you're just having a great time. Nobody cares. But when you're in the middle of a trial, when you're in the middle of a pain, when you're going through challenges in your life, everybody is watching to see what you are going to do. And how you handle yourself at that moment has eternal priorities in other people's lives. I'm here to tell you tonight, serve him, love him, let him have his way in your life. Make the right decision even when you're in a storm. Even when life is not going perfect for you. Make the right decision, because when you do, it not only has an effect on your life, it has an effect on everybody else's life. You preach to others in the middle of a storm because your walk is your witness. And Paul says, he said, I know that in all things, God is going to help me because he is with me. Come on, can you say amen tonight? I'm going to read this one more scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Listen, I'm speaking to somebody. I feel that in my heart and my spirit tonight. I'm speaking to somebody. You may be in the middle of a storm. Storms are not here to last. Storms are not what defines you, but how you deal with your life in the middle of the storm will define how you live the rest of your life. He said, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the entire world. Your pain is not a waste. Your storm is not a waste. God says, I'm going to work something in and through that pain, that disappointment, that hurt, the family member that's just driving you bananas. God said, I'm going to work something out great in the middle of it. Close your eyes with me. Bow your head with me tonight. He's got such a plan. This whole night was just orchestrated for you. This night was orchestrated so that you would fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. And even in the middle of sometimes challenges and troubles and heartache and a storm and difficulty, Paul said when he was in jail that he took it and he worked something great in it. Thank you, Lord. I pray strength. I pray peace. I pray hope. I pray life. I pray your help on each and every one tonight. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Pastor Ryan, come on up.